From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. We are recording the show at our usual time, 9 a.m. in the West. But because of the public impeachment hearings, you are listening to us later in the day, perhaps online, perhaps in our 7 p.m. rebroadcast, maybe by podcast. It is Tuesday, November 19th. PG&E has issued an alert for another public safety power shutoff this week because of a windy forecast with low humidity and continuing dry conditions. At this point, there are shutoffs in parts of about 25 counties. People are on standby for the outage beginning sometime on Wednesday. All of this is subject to change. You are advised to keep checking at capradio.org for the latest. The National Weather Service says winds will be picking up with the strongest winds Wednesday morning into the afternoon. North of I-80, in fact, is what the National Weather Service tells me. South of I-80, rain and snow are expected into Wednesday morning as well. So again, stay with our website for continuing changes. Leadership from PG&E, along with two other public utilities, San Diego Gas and Electric and Southern California Edison, testified in Sacramento yesterday. The subject was these public safety power outages. Here is a comment from PG&E CEO Bill Johnson that is making news across the country. You're going to hear him talking at first about the early stages of the public safety power shutoff strategy.
Several small events on the order of 40,000, 50,000 customers, and those went well. And so I think we got a little complacent that we had figured it out, and all of a sudden we scaled up to 20 times that size.
We got a little complacent. That was PG&E's CEO testifying yesterday at the Capitol. Cap Radio's region reporter Bob Moffitt is with me to talk about this day of testimony and what we learned. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. Good evening.
Let's set the stage, though. What was this hearing? Who was there and why?
Well, it was a wave after wave of three utilities to start off with, one San Diego Gas and Electric and then Southern California Edison and then PG&E. And the why is outages. It's outages. It's fire danger. It's wind. It's how the grid goes together. It's what helps available for people. It's whether generators are available. Do we want solar generators? Do we have solar generators? Other than that, they didn't really cover much ground. And they were there for, and that was just the first 4 hours. Then after that, then they had a whole bunch of other people from all other government agencies that showed up. But the big three that led off were the power companies.
And the goal being what? Just to hear the testimony?
The goal being to, I think, identify everything that I just said and try to figure out how it all works together and what is going on in the heads of the people who make the decisions when it comes to declaring power outages that are affecting hundreds of thousands of people across the state, and then contrasting that with the equipment and whether it's suitable to handle the power grid during wind events, and maybe, why are these fires happening now?
In the public utilities testimony, first up was Caroline Wynn, and she is COO, Chief Operating Officer, from San Diego Gas and Electric. And she talked about the need or the goal being to reduce or eliminate these power shutoffs. But that said, she explained the effort that's happening right now. This gets to a little bit of the technical conversation in terms of minimizing the area of the shutoffs.
We have been very thoughtful about installing sectionalizing switches. And what that's able to do is only limit a shutoff to kind of the most endangered communities. So we pair our sectionalizing switch with a weather station, because sometimes some of the circuitry that we have in our backcountry is, over 100 circuit miles long. And the wind condition in one part of a circuit could be very different than a wind condition in another part of the circuit.
So San Diego Gas and Electric decided to start working on these issues and shutoffs back in 2007. There were two fires, one in 2003, one in 2007. And the 2007 fire affected a great deal of the utility, of the employees of the utility. And so they set about to make some changes, even though they stressed that it wasn't mandated. They are now basically known as the utility that's out in front of these circumstances. Now everybody else is trying to play catch-up. And so there were committee members thanking San Diego Gas and Electric for their thinking, for their technology, for putting things together, for having a plan, and for the way that they go about doing things.
You're reminding me that we should link a conversation we had with the person who created this entire weather system network that interfaces with the power grid down there. We talked with him extensively on Insight, so we'll link that to our website as well. So the public safety power shutoff strategy has been used now by all three companies, all three testifying yesterday. I want to go into a little bit of the evidence in the testimony that came from Phil Harrington, and he is from Southern California Edison.
Patrols conducted after PSPS events found multiple instances of equipment damage and tree branches on power lines that could have ignited a fire had we not de-energized.
So the Southern California Edison is sort of in the same boat as PG&E. This is fairly new to them, and they're understanding that there are shortages or the shortcomings in their system, including they've made improvements to their website, much like PG&E had a problem with their website when it crashed because it couldn't handle the volume of traffic. And then they're also looking to work on strengthening lines, covering lines or insulating them so that they're not bare wires, and then also working to try to do a better job of being able to make sections, smaller sections in the grid that can be knocked out for power, but that way the whole giant area around it doesn't have to be impacted.
You know, we're talking about this, but it's happening somewhat in real time, Bob, as so many people are on alert right now for this possible power shutoff on Wednesday. And when you look at the list of counties, you see that, for example, in Butte County, 14,000 customers might be out of power. If you look at the city of Berkeley, the headline is most of the city won't lose power, but the red flag warning means there's still fire danger. So it is spotty throughout. And I think what was established by the testimony of the first two utility companies is that this is a strategy that's working and going to be continued to be used.
It is a strategy that's working in a broad sense, but in individual areas, in smaller areas, it's not working. So the question is, how do we make it work for everybody, where there is fire safety and fire prevention, but we're also not having senior citizens left without any refrigeration and with having their medicines go bad because they're required to be refrigerated. So that's where these technological advances that are, as you said, are really, they're happening now and pretty rapidly. In fact, one gentleman who spoke for PG&E, Sameet Singh, mentioned that the first outage that they had, it took something like I think it took 51 hours for them to put people back online. On average, the last outage that they had just a couple weeks later was 12. So they're working on it, but it's still, there are a lot of people that are still, you know, after that first outage when everything that could go wrong kind of went wrong, the trust factor is pretty low right now.
So after the first two companies, it was PG&E's turn, and CEO Bill Johnson sat down, and I think this is a very telling comment when he addresses, yes, that safety decision to turn off the power, but the reality of what the ripple effect was.
I think we thought the big event was turning off the power, because for us, this is an unnatural act. You know, in your utility business, your job is to keep the power on 24/7. And I think we focused on that as the main event instead of the impact of that, right, on the people it affected.
Yeah, and that was the people that were affected was what this was all about. The lawmakers had lists of emails from complaining citizens, and in some cases, like Senator Stern's grandmother was evacuated by his parents because she didn't have any you know, refrigeration, and her medicine was going to go bad. And so, I mean, there were, and that was, like Johnson said, they're used to keeping the power on. They're not used to shutting it off in little segments here and there. And so they got caught off guard, and he admitted as much. And I don't know what else you can ask besides for when you're expecting somebody to make changes. If they recognize that changes need to be made and they say, yes, we messed up before and now we realize that and we're going forward.
Well, what the committee is asking for is changes that could improve the situation. They're trying to figure out where there's room, I think, in terms of the oversight to continue to tweak or improve these decisions.
Right. And I think PG&E put maybe some of their minds to rest with just by following San Diego's playbook and what they've done already. And Johnson readily admitted that they are absolutely stealing every good idea they can find from San Diego in order to go forward. And they believe that they have made progress, though they are not, certainly perfect as of yet. And they can also learn from Southern California Edison, which a lot of the complaints about them, about their outages, were the lack of availability for help for people. And the people were expecting the Red Cross to come in. But the Red Cross doesn't come in unless it's a natural disaster. So if there's no disaster, then where are these people supposed to go? There are shelters that are open from like 8 to 8, but that doesn't help people from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And so that was another real question for Southern California Edison, and I'm sure PG&E was listening.
You're listening to Bob Moffitt. He is CAP Radio's region reporter. Bill Johnson was not going to get off easy in this hearing by any stretch of the word. Let's listen to a little bit of the comment from State Senator Bill Dodd.
I looked at what happened on October 9th as a big screw you to your customers, to the legislature, to the governor. And I think a term that you probably used in Tennessee was, that dog don't hunt. And I really believe that has really created amongst the legislature, amongst your customers, a real trust issue that when you do a pretty straightforward job later on October 23rd, it leaves everybody wondering, what are we going to have next?
So, Bill Johnson, PG&E's CEO, responded directly to that.
I've heard this comment that we did this event to send a message about inverse or, we're trying to prove something. I can assure you we were not. That we were following the protocol we have on file. Did the weather turn out exactly like we thought it would? No. But there was no message there of anything other than we're following the protocol.
Now, Johnson made a couple of other points, too. One was that one of the complaints that's been made is that there's been no money put into the system.
Oh, I think we're going to hear that a little bit later, his defense of that.
Yeah. And then there was that. There was also the increase in fire risk in that I believe it was 2012. He said something like 15% of PG&E's coverage area was in a severe fire risk. That area is now 50%. So he made that point as well, and I think those are viable points to bring up as far as what is PG&E expected to do and how have things changed in a relatively short amount of time.
Bill Johnson remained calm throughout all the testimony, but he weathered some emotion that was a lot less than calm, including this from State Senator Mike McGuire. But in this clip, he is in particular talking to Sumeet Singh, whom you mentioned earlier, the Vice President of Asset and Risk Management and the Community Wildfire Safety Program for PG&E.
You tell everyone and their brother that you're going to turn off the lights for fire safety. And then you keep the damn transmission lines in the most fire-critical territory open and alive. Give me the understanding of how that works and why that decision would be made.
So we actually did shut down several transmission lines.
Obviously, you didn't shut down the one that had the spark.
So what happened is what McGuire said, is that people in the valley that were out without power And we're trying to deal with that. Meanwhile, one of the high voltage transmission lines up in the hills, where it was super windy, there was a problem there, and then it caught fire. I don't think that one has been determined yet, officially, what the cause of fire was, but they certainly PG&E didn't argue the point. And so that was really like, how does the grid go together? How do the shutoffs work with people who, you know, need the power? And then how does that work with fire protection and prevention? And it's a little complicated, but yeah, McGuire made his point.
I want to get back to what you just referred to, which is this issue of whether money's been spent on infrastructure, whether the infrastructure is old and failing and not being kept up. And that was an accusation, a perception that Bill Johnson took on. He addressed what's been said in that regard about PG&E. So here again is PG&E's CEO.
There's a perception, and I heard it here today, that our system is in shambles, that we haven't invested in it, and that we're turning off the power because we've neglected the equipment. So I've heard this a lot. I've been here 6 months, and I've heard this a lot in that 6 months, and I have mostly avoided answering this question by saying I came to look forward and not backwards. But I've got asked so many times, I thought I would investigate what the facts were. And so here are the facts. Over the last 10 years, PG&E has invested more than $30 billion in its electric transmission and distribution assets.
$30 billion added to $2 billion from proceeds or profits that also went into the lines. A couple of other numbers he threw out of there. 730,000 transmission and sub-transmission lines have been inspected. They conducted 18 months worth of inspections of those lines in the last 4 months.
So, Bob, you listened to hours and hours of this testimony, and it went long into the day, into the evening. I've seen headlines from the Minneapolis Star and Tribune, the Houston Chronicle, papers across the country. It's in the New York Times today. CEO says PG&E got complacent about power outages. And obviously, none of these stories tell the full story of all that was said and unfolded yesterday. So can I get your take on it as you listen to the three companies and you listen to the oversight and committee and the direction they wanted to take or hear from the leadership?
From the utilities, I thought Southern California Edison seemed to be the most defensive. I thought PG&E owned their shortcomings, and both seemed to be willing to and eager to try to follow San Diego's lead. San Diego came out, I think, sparkling in this. There wasn't really a complaint that I remember about them particularly. As far as the what do people take away from this? Well, I mean, you can't say that PG&E doesn't know they screwed up now, because PG&E's head honcho said we screwed up. So, from that, I think that's a starting point as far as, customer relations. And then, the numbers he threw out there about the amount of money that they've spent recently and what they've done and the inspections, et cetera, and what they're trying to do in order to follow San Diego's lead. I think it seemed to me to be a good start, and it answered the questions that were put before them. I think the questions that remain are the power generation, solar. That was something Scott Wiener brought up repeatedly to each one of the people that attended, because he wanted to know, he was trying to get a public promise from each one of the leaders of these utilities that they would not oppose public generation of power, especially in a time when now more and more people are going to need public generation of power, and if we can do it using solar instead of diesel,
right.
Well, then that obviously is better.
It's clean.
Yeah, and diesel is obviously not. So the worry there that he kept bringing up was that, how do we do this? Can we do this? And will you stop opposing this private generation model that he's supporting?
There have been some calls for testimony on Capitol Hill by PG&E regarding wildfires and public safety power shutoffs. What about here in Sacramento? Was this a one-time hearing? Are there more scheduled?
You know, there was a mention of a next meeting early on in the proceedings, but there was no follow-up to that.
Okay.
So, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure what the if there was more. It seemed like if they were going to ask any other questions or any questions today was, or yesterday was the day to do it.
All right, and that was the State Senate's Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Communications. I am going to refer everybody to the website because you have more coverage, more reporting on yesterday.
Yes. Yes, we do. Capradio.org. I'm not sure what. I think we had some contributions from Associated Press as well, and they did half the story, and I did the other half, and so we put that up.
All right, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
I appreciate having time and expanse to discuss what was a very big day yesterday.
Well, it's a topic that covers a vast area of California and tens if not hundreds of thousands of people, depending on the day, depending on whatever happens. And so it's something that needs to be talked about. And I think it's good that it's out there and people have a better understanding, hopefully, of how everything is supposed to work, best practices, and maybe how it's working now or not.
That is Cap Radio region reporter Bob Moffett. And again, capradio.org. As we have been referencing, right now, PG&E customers in parts of 25 counties across California have been alerted to possible power shutoffs beginning Wednesday. We do have a power shutoff map on our website. There's also a place where you can plug in your address to find out what the power status might be where you live. You can find that at capradio.org. Up next, we're going to jump ahead to a preview of tomorrow night's Democratic presidential debate in Atlanta, and that's from LA Times national political reporter Melanie Mason. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.